Welcome to AI at Work, a podcast which is part of the Tech Talks network. And in this podcast, we're going to venture into the transformative influence of artificial intelligence inside the workplace. And our discussions will focus on both the remarkable breakthroughs, but also the complex challenges of integrating AI into our everyday business functions and workflows. What does the future of fashion education look like in a digital age? These are just a few of the questions my guests are going to help answer today. So together, let's explore the incredible journey of FIT under Dr. Joyce Brown's leadership. You're going to love this one. So a massive warm welcome to the show. Can you tell everyone listening a little about who you are and what you do?
All right. My name is Joyce Brown, and I am the president of the Fashion Institute of Technology here in New York City. I have spent my career, really, I'm a psychologist by training, which helps a lot. and I have spent most of my career in public higher education here in New York. And I have been at FIT now for, this is my 26th year as president, which is sort of interesting when you think about, you know, a quarter of a century. But it's been a good ride. We've gotten a lot of wonderful things done in terms of transforming the experience for the extraordinarily talented students that we have. And I think we make a big contribution to New York City in terms of the leaders that we turn out to run the industries that really contribute to the dynamism of New York.
You really are doing just that. And that's one of the many reasons I was so excited to get you on the podcast today and have the opportunity to sit down and talk with you. Because as the first woman and first African-American president of Fashion Institute of Technology, or FIT, you've led the institution through transformative period over the years. And I've got to ask, I mean, what was your vision when you first took the role way back in 1998? And how has it evolved over the last 26 years, especially given the rapid advancements in technology and challenges in higher education? I mean, the last 5 years alone, we've been through working from home and learning from home at scale and AI. There's so much change since 1998, isn't there?
Yeah. It really has been. We are such a community of creative, talented, resourceful individuals. Yeah. So, my vision, you started asking me about my vision when I came here. What I saw was a community of people who were all talented in different ways, all of which could contribute to the creative industries here in New York. And so my vision really was to create activities and a mindset, really, an environment where people work together in ways that were not so siloed, that you didn't come in and be a fashion designer and never meet the marketing people, for example. And so we've worked at that, over the years. It takes time because you're essentially talking about changing the culture of a place. And so we worked strategically. We did strategic planning every 5 years. We would revisit. We would change the goals we were reaching for based on what we had achieved in the previous 5 years. And then, of course, in the middle of all that, more and more technology was, lifting its head and changing the way the world worked. And, to your point, the last few years between the pandemic and the Black Lives Matter movement that really was, triggered the activities or the attention was really triggered with the death of George Floyd in 2020. So we had all those things that, really called out for a response. And, what you do is you suck it up and make it work. So we needed to keep the institution going during the pandemic. We needed, it's like being dropped in the deep end of the pool. And you either swim or you die. So we had faculty teaching from home. We delivered computers, set them up, you know, found software that would allow students to come into the laboratories and be socially distanced. Remember that term during the pandemic? And, you know, at the same time, we had recognized that even as we incorporated the technology into our curriculum, and even as we worked on creating more interdisciplinary kinds of activities so that the students had the full experience of being at FIT, we knew that we had to stay within the parameters of curriculum and the regulations and the rules and the state regulations about what a curriculum and what a subject matter required. But we wanted to do something that allowed their creativity to work with industry in terms of what they were dealing with on a day-to-day basis. And so we developed the DTech Lab. And so DTech was design and tech. And we invited industry to come with real world issues and problems that they would like the insight of a 20 something, a creative 20 something that could help them think of new ways to problem solve in their business. So those were just some of the things that we did that, you know, kept us going, kept us afloat, helped us to grow. And, you know, we came out the other side, I think, all right, you know, our enrollment is strong. And I think faculty learned that they could work together in ways that they had not, been tested or tried in the past.
And I think another big change we've seen over the last 5 years is everyone's kind of accepted that every company is now a technology company, whether that be a business or in education or indeed anywhere. And one of the things that stood out to me about your work here is you've successfully infused technology into nearly every single aspect of FIT's operations and curriculum. So can you share some of the most significant changes that you've implemented, particularly within the rise of AI? Because it almost feels like we're moving from every business being an AI company, every business being a technology company, to every business being an AI company. That seems to be the next step. And how are you seeing technology reshaping the way FIT prepares its students for the evolving fashion industry? Because it must be an incredibly daunting time for students who are ultimately almost training and preparing for job roles that might not even exist yet.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. The young people today are really needing to build their future in a very uncertain time. Mm-hmm. But I have to say they are undaunted. They are fearless. They are risk takers. I often say I think they all emerged from the womb holding an iPad. You know, I mean, they just, that's their MO. You know, they are not afraid to try things. And I guess when you talk about AI, our job is really to make that a tool that is value added. It is not a problem solver. It is a tool that ought to enhance what the individual brings. And that's the challenge. I mean, faculty, teachers, professors have to figure out how to ferret out what is really the junk that will come from a mechanical sage who's going to tell you, you know, all these things that somehow got amalgamated from different sources. And how do you make that really, you know, a valuable tool that allows you to do things that your creativity sparks and can, in fact, lead to a wider problem-solving ability. So there's that, you know, and of course, it's everybody's learning as they go. And when you say that, you know, every business is a technology business, you know, when you think about it, technology has changed everything. It's changed how we teach and how we learn, but how we get information, how we're entertained, how we communicate. You know, it's not as if, you know, everybody's walking around with this little gadget in their hand. You know, if 30 years ago, you would have thought they were crazy because they were walking down the street talking to themselves, but no mas. They are, you know, connected to the world. And so I think in answer to your question, the impact, it's again, when I think about the DTEC lab, it really allows all of that to be brought together and tested against real world problems, which is, you know, what the industry is really going to need to have happen. If they're, you know, the consumer is changing in terms of what they want and what they're looking for. So the industry has to change in terms of what they offer and how they offer it. So, you know, we're all sort of in flux, and it's very interesting.
It really is. And you've mentioned the DTEC lab at Fit there, which has become a somewhat of a cornerstone for industry collaboration. And to bring to life everything we're talking about here, can you tell me a little bit more about the role of the lab and maybe share a few real-world examples of how students have partnered with some major brands from Adidas to Girl Scouts to address real-world business challenges? Because, again, this is where the exciting stuff happens, I think.
Yeah. It's you know, we have incredibly talented students. You know, they think it and they can make it, and it's a great gift. Yeah. And in the DTEC lab, they take that creativity and apply it, as I said, to real world problems. So for the Girl Scouts are a good example. You know, the Girl Scouts are an iconic age old organization within the community where little girls grew up wanting to, you know, be a Girl Scout, be a Brownie, and then a Girl Scout. But like anything else, the whole look and association needs to grow and be more current and be attractive to young people today. And so they came and said what they really wanted to do was to change, to redesign the uniform so that, you know, the young girls would want to be wearing those uniforms, feeling proud of those uniforms. You know, it's sort of a hallmark of the Girl Scouts. So they did. They worked with our current design students and, you know, redid the whole look, you know, and they incorporated, you know, pockets and flaps and things that would, in fact, allow for all of the devices that people carry today, the phone being, you know, one example. So, and you know, the different textures of the textile and the look. So that was very successful. We have, you know, we've worked with Cotton Ink, I think is an interesting project that where, you know, the organization wanted the world to have an idea of the utility of the textile of cotton. And they developed in 3D a whole presentation of various ways in which you could use the fabric and how it would enhance an environment and an outfit. We've worked with Netflix where they developed a wardrobe really for the young characters that ended up being marketed. You know, people, you know, the little characters in the film, in the shows were popular. And so young girls wanted to, you know, dress like them. I guess my favorite or one of the earliest was with Tommy Hilfiger, where Tommy Hilfiger wanted to take the DNA of the brand, the things that made the brand iconic and popular for all those years, and make sure it was more current, that it was appealing to the young consumer today. And they fed into, you know, the precursor to AI was the Watson technology that IBM had developed many years ago. They put all of the data about Tommy Hilfiger into Watson. They took what spit out as the iconic kind of variables. And then our students designed outfits that might have a panel that they could take out and change with it to a different color or a different kind of a stripe versus a plaid or a solid. And then they embedded sensors so that if someone was making you angry, your outfit would change to a different color, which you might not like to wear, I might add. You might want everyone to know how you were really reacting to them. But at any rate, it was very successful. And in fact, Tommy Hilfiger incorporated some of those outcomes into a product line. So it's been, it's really been very exciting for the students. It's been good for the faculty. It creates an opportunity for students to get their hand into research at an early stage. And it's, you know, it's been well received by industry. You know, there's always something new and different that is happening in the industry that our students get to help solve for, but also get to be familiar with what life is like on a day-to-day, you know, working in the industry and how you have to problem solve, and work in teams and really, you know, continue to move forward, and be responsive to the kinds of everyday, issues that come up in the real, in the so-called real world.
And such a powerful example there. And I always say at the end of every episode on this podcast, technology works best when it brings people together. And one of the things I'd love to highlight here that we don't talk about enough with young people today is their resilience. I mean, you've led Fit through several unprecedented global upheavals, including COVID-19 pandemic, social justice movements from Black Lives Matter to Me Too. Now we've got global conflict on a huge scale too. So how do you navigate complex issues like this, and how have they influenced the maybe the direction of the college's curriculum and the culture there?
Well, I think it's very important to listen and try and keep connected to the pulse of what is really happening within the community. You know, everyone reacts differently to different pressures. We're in a community of very talented young people. And, you know, normally what has happened is, if we can say there's anything normal about all of those things that you just described, but I would say the typical reaction has been that they express their anxiety, they express their concerns in their work, in the kinds of art that you see, in the products that they make, in how they try and integrate their feelings into what they produce. You know, the issues that you pointed out were so huge that it affected everyone. It didn't just affect the students. The students are our charge. We need to create an environment where they feel safe, but we've also got, you know, a whole faculty and staff that also were experiencing those things. So, you know, again, I try to really listen and try and figure out if there are ways we can address the kinds of things that are, you know, seriously impacting how people make it through their day. And sometimes that's dialogue. Sometimes it's, you know, ways of creating conclaves, if you will, ways in which people can come together and work on problem solving. But, you know, it's, You mentioned the word resilience, and I think that is very, very significant and key. People are very resilient. Creative people are resilient, I think, in they have an outlet that other people don't have, and that is in their work. When you talk about the global turmoil that we're all living through now, I'm seeing a different kind of response. I think the world is really at a little bit of a tipping point in terms of, what appears to be the emotion and the anger, if you will, of people. needing to find ways to express that. So, you know, we do see a different movement. I know you've seen it in England as well, of young people rising up, wanting to have their voices heard in terms of policy, public policy that they think impacts them. So we are seeing a bit of that more than we've seen in the past. But again, we also see it reflected in the work that the students produce. So I think the important thing is to really not be judgmental, to listen, to try and address what are real feelings and real concerns of young people today. These are the young people that are going to lead these industries in just a few years. I mean, that's the whole point of educating them, having them familiar, developing their talent. They're going to go out and they're going to run the industries that we think of as the mega industries of the world. And so we need to listen to them and we need to respond and make possible avenues for them to really exercise their voice and their agency and their finding a place for themselves to fit. And so we work at that. We try. And I guess as in any institution, it comes from the top, you know, you set the tone, and work at it and not impose judgments and deny the validity of what people are experiencing.
And your work is incredibly inspiring. And I, along with everybody listening, can rightly celebrate your success right here, right now. But I want to take you back to when you first joined, because I think there's such an important part of your story there, because the curriculum was back then described as antiquated. There was limited investment in faculty and facilities. So I've got to ask, what were the biggest challenges that you faced in modernizing this institution? And What are you most proud of in achieving during this process? Because I think that's something that often gets lost or forgotten about, because we can celebrate the success now, but that's where there's something quite magical happened and where the learning and the work occurred, right?
Yeah. Well, I think what I'm most proud of is really having changed the dialogue in this community. You know, people were really fixated in their little area. You know, it was all very siloed. And, you know, we had all these subject matter experts and these creative people that were here that never got to work with each other and never got to really address both the right and left brain of these students, you know, in the classroom. So I'm really proud of the fact that through the strategic planning, through the conversations, through bringing together groups of people to really opine and come up with policies that were jointly developed, you know, with the administration and the faculty, with the faculty from the various areas of the college. And people now, you know, are getting grants and bringing in research and doing all kinds of experimentation. I mean, one of the things I'm really proud of is that we have what we call biodesign. So you have the science people and the design people really working on developing natural fibers, you know, out of kombucha and mycelium and pineapple. And, you know, one of my favorite stories was that the students were going to make fat textile. They were going to put all those things I just mentioned together, and they were going to sprinkle carrot seeds in the mix, and they were going to make shoes, and they were going to wear the shoes. And of course, the shoes were going to wear out pretty quickly because they were these natural soft fibers, but then they were going to bury the shoes. They were going to grow the carrots and they were going to eat their shoes. So this was, you know, what we call circularity at its height, right? So it's how they learn and how we can create the opportunities for that kind of forward thinking, you know, sort of serendipitous kind of thinking. But it really encourages them to develop their talent. I'm also very proud of the we have a new building. I said I would never leave until I built this building, and I had no idea it was going to take 26 years, but here I am. Just as a warning, you shouldn't make these blanket statements until you realize what all of the parameters will be. But at any rate, we're going to open our new building this year. So I do think the investment in people and the investment in the environment in which you expect people to work and to thrive really is very, very important. It's an investment in them, and it's an investment in how you think of the product that you are turning out. So I made a commitment to hire 20 new faculty every year, and we've been doing that now for the last 3 or 4 years. It's made a tremendous difference in terms of new ideas and new experiences that people bring. And now, as I say, we're going to open the new building. So the physical plant is different. The human resources are different. The students are at a different place in time in terms of technology and our openness to incorporate it. So, and as I've said, you know, this is my last year. Not that I couldn't stay and do and have more ideas, but I think we're in a good place and space, and we'll see what comes next.
Oh, I love it. Absolutely brilliant. And the Center of Innovation at FIT is also something I wanted to highlight today. It's known for driving creativity and entrepreneurship within the global fashion community. So how do you see this center shaping the future of fashion and creative industries, especially in this world that is increasingly driven by two big words here? We've got sustainability and digital, or digital experiences. How do you see this evolving?
Yeah, well, you know, the whole idea was really to develop a center for innovation that was going to be a place outside of the curriculum that faculty could give them some release time to really work on developing, experiments and research, and innovative ways of addressing the day to day that we were seeing in industry. There was no space on campus to do that. So we needed to develop that in a different place. And in fact, one of our board members gave us space out, at the Brooklyn Navy Yard. I don't know if that means anything to the audience, but it is in the borough of Brooklyn. And it's a new and upcoming, really vital area, of the city. And one of our board members runs Lafayette 148. If people know the brand, it's a women's fashion brand, and it's wonderful. And she gave us space out there for the faculty. But then that was how DTech grew also, because I wanted something on campus that was real. I mean, we could have this place in Brooklyn, and it was great for the people who wanted to, have the innovation grants. But I wanted something that was really feeding the creativity here on campus. So DTech is really an offshoot of what we envision as the larger innovation center. And how do I see it? I mean, I think with the new building, maybe we'll be able to have more spaces dedicated to faculty doing research and being able to have their students as part of that research. We've always looked at cross-cutting elements in terms of what we thought was important for the ongoing development of the reputation of FIT writ large. So those were sustainability, innovation, and diversity. So those were always welcomed as themes within the research that faculty wanted to explore. And the themes that, as part of the strategic plan, were incorporated into the curriculum to the extent. So I talked to you about bio design and the science and the design people. I mean, that's a direct outgrowth of that. And they've gotten incredible grants work. We're doing work with Columbia University and with, groups upstate as well. So there's lots of ways in which we're seeing the innovation come to life and impact the curriculum and impact the dynamism really that the faculty bring to the ongoing research that gets incorporated in the curriculum. So, I think the innovation, the notion of innovation and the work we do in DTEC and the bringing in of the industry as well as the expansion of the curricular areas so that everybody gets a piece of what we're doing, I think it's just going to transform, what the experience is for students at FIT and what they bring to the industry when they graduate. It's very exciting.
It really is. And I think especially when we see technology and AI increasingly becoming integral to the fashion industry, as we move forward, how are you ensuring FIT remains at this forefront of education and innovation that you've fought so hard to achieve and excel at? And what new programs or partnerships are you most excited that might support this mission? I appreciate you're probably locked down. You probably can't share too much. But is there anything you can share about what excites you here?
Well, I have to say I really am very excited about the biodesign piece because I think sustainability is very important for the planet, no doubt, but it is also really integral to how the young people are thinking today. You know, the whole retail world is really trying to reimagine itself. Because the whole notion of excess and constant shopping and disposable fashion and fast fashion, these young people are not interested in that. They're recycling and repurposing, and they're very proud of themselves when they can take old garments and retrofit and create something new, from that. So, it's very exciting to me to see the level of enthusiasm that goes into the experimentation of new textiles and new natural kinds of fibers, things that are biodegradable, that are going to protect the planet going forward. You know, they're conserving the use of water. We've given them an area where we have a natural dye garden. And the students cultivate these natural dyes and they take it into the laboratory and they experiment with how they can use natural color to have fabric dyed with a natural fiber as opposed to those with all the chemicals and the use of all the excess water. So all of those things are really important to this next generation. I think it's going to impact everything that we see that comes, that will fuel industry. And so it's very exciting to watch that. And it's, I think, very important to provide the wherewithal for them to continue to develop those, develop new, concise, workable ways to really make a difference and be the pioneers. I think the whole sustainability piece is exciting. I think the natural, the innovations that allow for natural fibers, the cutting down on the waste, and preserving the elements of our planet. It's really an important mission. And I think, these industries that we, support are really critical to seeing that difference in the behavior of the consumer and in the producers and in the retail industries.
And of course, we're recording this at that magical time of the year where we're reflecting on maybe lessons we've learned this year, what we'd like to change next year, invest in self-improvement, etc. So looking ahead, what do you believe are the key skills and the key mindsets that the next generation of fashion designers and business leaders are going to need? And how are you adapting your approach to helping students foster these qualities?
Well, you know, I think it's hard to have, a mantra that is going to apply to everyone.
Yeah.
I do believe that, I keep saying you really shouldn't make any big decisions without a 20-something in the room. because one, they're going to, in 10, 15 years, they're going to be the people in that. If there are still C-suites, they will be sitting in them. And we need to listen and understand what that view of the world really is going to entail. And, you know, I think, I also think that we're at such a strange point. You know, everything appears to be, have a level of turmoil, roiling just below the surface. I think it would be a good time to listen more, speak less, try and incorporate and understand, how we can apply what all that emotion, brings to the table and how we ought to, consider before we act, before we have great mandates and firm beliefs that we have the answers and the only way to go, all based on everything we've done so far, as opposed to being innovative and open and listening and experimenting. And, you know, it's clear that business, the way we do business, the look of business, how people consume, what the consumer will demand, all of that is changing. And it, we really need to pay attention, and be guided by what the audience wants, you know, and those of us in a position to, make decisions and move institutions forward, you know, shouldn't believe we have all the answers without spending the time to try and figure out how one responds to the times we're living in.
And I think one of the biggest challenges faced by people of all ages right now is that real pressure on us all to be in a state of continuous learning. Now, as somebody that's leading the way here, I've got to ask, where or how do you self-educate? Anything you can share there? I'd love to find out more about the secret to your success here on continuous learning.
Well, you know, it's always a work in progress. It really is. I know I've said this a few times, but I do try and listen to, you know, the things that people are experimenting with and try and see if there's ways we can bring others into that conversation and into that mix. You can always learn something, you know. I try to read what's happening, you know, in the field. I try and follow, you know, what's happening. We have, young groups of students who have come together and started businesses, again, in the whole mostly in the textile development area, where, you know, they try new science and new, experimentation. You can always learn something. And, you know, yes, the self-care is out there. I don't know that I've mastered that as well as other things. But, you know, I do think if you take the time to, you know, sort of step back and understand how all these pieces are fitting together, lessons do emerge from that as well. So, you know, I read, I listen, I watch, I try and be the maestro that can put together the groups and opportunities that new things can spark and develop. And that's a good way to learn as well.
It really is, and such a powerful moment to end our conversation on today. But before I do let you go, anyone listening wanting to find out more information about FIT, whether they're students or at any age, just want to find out more information and learn from you or what you're doing here, where would you like to point everyone listening?
Well, I guess to our website. I mean, you know, we have, you know, it's fitnyc.edu. So it's www.fitnyc.edu. You should be able to find information about the various programs and activities, the curriculum, the news of the day, what the students are up to. And then you should all come see us.
I will add links to everything to make it nice and easy for people to check you out. And we've covered so much today, from your very early moment in your career and you were, what you arrived there, and the systems were antiquated, so much big changes were needed. And to go from that entire journey to making Fit a hub for innovation and entrepreneurship across a global creative community, establishing a more diverse and inclusive student body and faculty, and also infusing next generation and establishing the programming and infrastructure needed to drive that change. And as I said right at the very beginning of our conversation, I always say technology works best when it brings people together. And when I zoom out from over, this appears to be exactly what you've done. So it's a fantastic work that you've done. You're a real inspiration. And just thank you for taking the time to share your story with me today.
Thank you so much. I've enjoyed our time together.
I think Dr. Joyce Brown's visionary leadership has undoubtedly transformed Fit into a beacon of innovation, inclusivity, and creativity. From enabling students to collaborate with industry giants, to championing sustainability and biodesign, she has set a new standard for what a modern educational institution can achieve. And as we all look to the future, how can the lessons from Fit inspire other organisations to also embrace change and prepare for some of the evolving demands that are impacting their industries? But over to you. You've heard from me. You've heard from the inspiring Dr. Joyce Brown today. What role do you see technology playing in shaping education and creativity? How is it impacting your industry? Please share your thoughts. Let's continue this inspiring conversation. Let's channel some of this energy. And you can get in touch with me, techblogwriteroutlook.com, LinkedIn, X, Instagram, just at Neil C. Hughes. Easiest guy in the world to find. So let me know. Please share your thoughts. Let's continue this conversation. And until next time, please stay curious. Keep redefining what's possible. These are a few of the takeaways I'm going to be leaving with today. But that's it for today. Bye for now.